Well, Happy New Year. Well, isn't that great? Because the new year comes and then everything is automatically better, right? Because there's a new date. It's going to take you 6 months to remember to write the right date, but now every relational problem is solved. You know, everyone's going to, you just lost 20 pounds, right? You're going to give up all those habits. And so it's really amazing how good that is. But guess what? Be excited. Be excited. The Lord's going to bring it today. He's going to bring it today. Not that he doesn't always, but he's up to something. And I think we're ready. I think we're getting ready. And just like we sang in that song, man, there's nothing going to get in the way. And so today, whatever I'm supposed to share with you, you might not hear it today. But in God's appointed time, he is going to knock down doors and walls and whatever it takes to get you. And we're here for you, for all those that God brings to us, to be faithful, to be honest, to be true, to be bold. Randy and Sandy are in the back there, and they're here for prayer. So any point in time, if the Holy Spirit's just, you know, giving that nudge, saying, get some prayer. I mean, not that you can't stop where you're at and get prayer, but they're here for you in the back too, okay? Anytime through the service, not just at the end. And if you're part of their cares group A, they're going to pray over all of this at the end. They're going to kind of meet back there and pray, okay? Well, let me get started here with prayer, and then we'll get into the sermon. Jesus, I just thank you, Holy Spirit. As the one you've brought here and called this pastor, I just give you free run today. Jesus, if you don't show up and all these things you told me, they will not hit home. They won't make a difference. They won't help. And so, Lord, knock down the walls, tear down barriers, come after your people. Speak truth so loud it smashes the lies. Come to our rescue here in 2021, I pray, Jesus, in your name, in your power, and in our belief and faith in you. Amen. So here's your good New Year's sermon, titled it, Shadiness. We're going through 1 John, the book of 1 John. We're going to cover an astounding single verse again today. So 1 John 1, 6, turn your Bibles to that place. Of course, it's not going to work. We just unplug that little remote thing and then plug it back in. We'll give that a second here. So go ahead and mark in your Bibles 1 John 1, 6, but we'll come back to that. So kind of hold the place. There we go. First, let me take you, before we get into what John is saying, let's go to his account of Jesus' life, which we see in a book we call John, the Gospel of John. And John 17, let me grab my Bible. I'm going to read some of this to you, and I'll put some highlights up here for you. Instead of going through this, you'll find this in John 17 and where we are in Jesus' life. Do you guys hear that rattling from that? Yeah. You know what it is? Okay. Maybe it makes me sound like the voice of God. God. No. I don't want that pressure. Thank you, Ross. John 17. So here's where we are to put it in context. If you guys are kind of new to the life of Christ and studying the scripture, spoiler alert, Jesus was crucified, okay, by the very people, his own people that he came to save, and they didn't receive him, and so they manipulated the Roman government to kill him. They arrested him, really didn't have legal grounds for that. They killed him. He did not stay dead. After 3 days, he rose from the dead and got freedom forever for the captives, right? And offered this salvation not only to Jews, but also Gentiles, us, yay, right? Praise God. But in order to let that happen, Jesus had to submit himself, right, and let himself be arrested. Right before this happened, John records this. John was one of his buddies. He was one of his closest followers and disciples. And so his book called John is the account of, you know, his experience with Jesus. And then 1 John is a letter that he wrote to Christians. So same author, you know, same problems, but I want to give you some background. John 17, you might have heard this called the high priestly prayer. This is a prayer that Jesus is offering. And I'm going to start with 17 verse 1. I'm reading from ESV, just so that you know if it doesn't match yours. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you've given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him." Okay? And this, verse 3, is eternal life, that they know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom I have sent. So this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's eternal life. Okay, so let's smash lies and come up with truth. Truth, eternal life isn't like angels, harps, heavens, and heaven. Eternal life starts now, once you know the one true God, and it carries on from now to forever. Okay, this is the invitation. And then he said this, I want to point this out. This is what John's experiencing, what Jesus is going through and teaching him. He said, "Thank you for the people whom you gave me out of the world." And he says, "I'm praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours." So he continues to say that here in verse 6. "I have manifest your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world." Why is that significant? Here's what I got to tell you guys. What Jesus is doing, what he's saying, his saving grace is for those that are coming before him, that God's bringing to him. So when I come to this place, many men and women have debated about the theology, about the way that this works, and that's not what I'm here to do. What I'm here to say is what you want and what I want is to have the eyes and ears to hear and see what God is doing. And the people in Jesus' days that had the eyes and the ears to see what we're doing were brought to Jesus, and he saved them. And he taught them. And this salvation was extended well beyond them. It was to everyone who would believe in his name. And so I say this to you because the lie is the same lie that we tell in our culture. Everyone gets a participation trophy. And in our humanity, you want to say, okay, wait, what kind of theological truth are you getting into? Well, people want to debate me. Without a doubt, someone will debate me after this is over about who's saved and who's not. Not up to me. What I'm saying is, as the pastor, I know some of you will not have ears to hear this. I know not everyone's going to be in heaven and get the participation trophy and say, "I know you lived in darkness and you didn't care, but you had religion, so you're in." That's not what it is. Jesus says, "I'm praying for those who are listening, who are watching me, who you gave me. Please, God, make that you and me. I'm praying for them, and what I'm doing is I'm taking them out of the world." And then he says this, verse 9, "I'm praying for them, and I'm not praying for the world, but those whom you've given me," right? He's not just sitting here giving a goodwill message to the entire world that makes everyone feel good. It's just not what he's doing. In verse 11, "I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you've given me, that they may be one, even as we are one." So there's this weird dynamic, guys, and this is, you're going to spend your whole lifetime trying to walk this out. Jesus physically left the world. And you and I were left here physically in the world, but God is calling us out of the world. Not physically, but the systems, the norms, the values of the world around us. If you're conforming to those 100%, you're not conforming to God. And why he gave them is so that they would be one with Christ and with each other. Verse 14, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I'm not of this world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." See that? "I've given them your word." What does that look like in 2021? Well, a lot of, right here, we have a written record of what God told us. So this has been given to us through Jesus and disciples throughout the ages, right? But God also gave us the Holy Spirit to speak to us and give us the verbal word of God at time and direct us and lead us and speak to our hearts. So these things Christ has left with us to help us along the way. And he did that not so that we would die and go to heaven, right? Because I think that's what we want. It's too hard to stay here and be at opposition to the world. It'd be so much easier to die. Because then you're with him and you're not fighting a world in which you don't belong. But that's not the brave and courageous way of a follower of Christ. I might have made a snafu with this black print here, so I'll just tell you what it says. So then it goes on in verse 17, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. Okay, sanctify, that means this, to be what? To be, make them holy, to set them apart. So you and I are to be sanctified, to be made holy, to be set apart. And we're done, that's done for us by the truth given to us, okay? And for this sake, he says, I consecrate, which is to set apart to God, that they may also be sanctified or made holy in truth. I do not ask for these only, it continues to say in verse 20, but also for those who believe in me through their word. Say, oh yeah. Say, oh yeah, come on. Ready? One, two, three. Oh yeah. One, two, three. Oh yeah, because that's you. That's you. This applies to you. This is not a history lesson to tickle your mind. This is for you. I believe because John believed. I believe because Matthew believed. And people believed them, and they believed them, and they believed them, and my mom believed them and told me and took me to church. And I'm here preaching, right? Because a man named Hobby, who went home to be with the Lord, my mentor, he passed away, guys, 83 years old. The guy who saw in me that I should be a pastor. He went home for the reunion with God because he believed and his wife believed in Brandy and I, and they gave us a shot. And God has brought so many, some of you here to help us along the way. And there's kids are getting it after us. Connor just left. Jakey just left to go back in the military service. And all of you and your love, they're carrying with them to Texas and Missouri and everywhere else they go the rest of their days. I do not ask only for these, but those who will believe in me through their word. That they all may be one just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, they may also be in us so that the world may believe that you've sent me. Well, geez, Will, you took us through a lot of scripture. I want you to see. I want you to see what John's talking about. This is the reality that happened for John. This is what he learned and what he saw. This is what Jesus asked. He asked that all men and women God draws to himself, he asked that they'll be in unity with and in fellowship with Jesus and each other through the Holy Spirit. That these people that belong to Jesus are not removed from the world. He needs us to be here, right? But set apart to God, consecrated, set apart to God for his purpose. And away from the world in which they live. He asked that we're all protected from the evil one who's out to get us, to lie, destroy, steal, kill, right? And that we remain unstained by the world around us. Yeah, this can be fellowship. This can be, guys, what we have here, why we gather together. It's why I applaud you for getting up this morning and coming. I do. A lot of the world won't. But it's more than that. We'll talk more about fellowship here, but I want to point this out. See, God's given me a wife. And, I mean, like, D minus in being a spiritual leader for me throughout my adult life so far, okay, to God. But we're learning. And we're finding this fellowship, this commonality, this community in our house. We're working on it. And we've been, everything I'm sharing with you, and Brandy can testify to this is the stuff we're talking about. And I know the women, they want their men to do this. The men, they feel condemned because you don't have a Bible sitting at the dinner table and you're not telling Bible stories to your kids. Maybe that's it, but what we're talking about here is being united of mind and mission and values and talking about the things of God. And so what I'm sharing with you, so much of that is birthed out of these conversations we're having, right, Brandy? This like, oh man, you know what? Part of you wants, once you get a taste of God, you just want to go into a cabin somewhere and be removed. And a lot of you have that feeling. I just don't want to be part of all this junk anymore. But Jesus is like, no, I can't get you. You actually get it. You're like 1% of even the church people that get it. It's like, you can't go hide in a cabin. But I need you to be in the world, but not stained by the world, and to be protected from the evil one, and to be set apart even though you're physically present. And community, fellowship, is us doing that together. We're being the good kind of weird together. He asked that we'd be protected from the evil one and unstained, right? That's the word Brandy gave me from her translation, unstained by the world around us. Knowing that the evil one will use all his power. And get this, this is his best tool. And every person, right? Every hurt, lost, unregenerated, even regenerated person in our sin, in our insecurity, in our fear, in our weakness, he will use them to hate you, people who belong to Christ, just as those people hated Jesus himself. See, Jesus was being physically set apart to God, and he had to do that to claim his authority over all things. He had to. But with that power, guess what he can do for you and me? He can do this. It's a cool word, right? Regenerate us. Make us new. It really means to be formed again. And wouldn't you like it to like get redone? Like, right? We love the shows that make over people and houses, and it's like, I love this. I don't want to abandon it. Can we just make it new and remake it? Like, why am I this way? Could I be made new? Could I get a reset of all those mistakes I did, all the things I didn't do? Could I have the time back? Well, Jesus isn't giving you all of that, but he's restoring, right? He's restoring, he's making up for, he's paying back for what's been done. But because Jesus went physically, you and I can be regenerated, can be made new, can be saved. But here's the painful part, because that regeneration, that newness, it's given to you. It is. Positionally, that's who you are. You are a new creation, and now you're opportunity is to walk in that, to live that way. And the word Paul tells us, he used the word transforms, where our mind's transforming. The things, the habits that you do, like let me pick on this. It's funny. So if this is you, I'm not trying to pick on you. I've been noticing people vaping lately, you know? So, you know, when I grew up, the smoking thing looked kind of cool, right? They did it in a certain way. You see the person with the cigarette and they look cool and tough, right? The cigar, they look tough. And now we've converted to these metal boxes where you vape, right? Like, you seen this? You don't look cool, really, but the smoke is cool, right? It's this big cloud. It smells like cotton candy. So that's what people are doing now. And if you don't do that, then you don't get it. But if you do it, you're like, I get it, right? But what's funny is your mind, as it changes, you see things differently. But your mind has to change. So whatever it is you do, whatever your vice is, whatever your problem are, you don't get it. But the people who have a different opinion look at it and scratch their head. I saw this like 3 times in the last week. Someone hit one of their vape boxes, right? Hit the vape. And then just started coughing like in their car. And you're just like, oh man, that looks ridiculous, right? So, but that's because I don't vape. If I was them, it would make total sense. Why they probably vape, because their mom yelled at them today, or their girlfriend's mad at them, or they're getting a D in science, and so they want the nicotine to take the stress down. But I don't get that, because I'm not in their shoes. So you and I, even though we're regenerated and made new, we've got to stand with God, with the Holy Spirit, to get our mind changed. To get our mind changed. When I was a kid, you know, like 80s, early 90s, like, dude, awesome, sweet, radical. That was like really cool. And then I got older, and then we got into gangster rap. And then things became, instead of sweet and awesome, dude, that's gangster, right? Like, that's gangster. That's what we would say. And so, but what is cool about a gangster, like someone that does shoots each other and like sells drugs and manipulates and uses women. Nothing's cool about that, but something in my mind equated, I've used that phrase this week as a matter of fact. That's gangsta, right? Right, Tyler? I've used that because in my mind, something changed. The reality didn't, but my mind. So now I might be going back to sweet. Or, dude, that's radical, man. That's radical. But, you know, these things like you, your mind changes over time. And so that's what he's saying is like, I'm going to regenerate you and make you new, even though you're still physically put here. But it's going to take truth. It's going to take truth. And it's going to take fellowship. So therefore, if I belong to him, being Jesus, then I'm made new. You're made new. Like, you're already regenerated. You're already called righteous. But now the transform, you guys remember the Transformers? I was thinking about that, right? So Stephen, I was thinking about that, man. You notice like you hear it, there's like that, rah, 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 rah. They transform and it's like, they start like the car, it's like, rah, 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 rah. There's like 13 steps before they become this robot, right? It's not like poof, truck to robot, Optimus Prime. No, it's like rah, rah, there's steps. Like your life is this, rah, 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 trying to get to where in the world God needs you to be. You're being transformed. Maybe we should all have that sound effect on your smartphone, right? And every time you make a mistake, yeah, play it. Rah, 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 rah. I'm being transformed. I am Optimus Prime already, but I need to walk in it, okay? I need to leave this form to another. So our behaviors, our mentality, our thoughts are being transformed to match who we are. Right, my mind's blown. Like, Lord, help us, man. Because this is hard to get. But no wonder you're so frustrated. No wonder creation itself is annoyed. As we were saying with this week with the youth stuff, man, what the fudge? What the fudge, right? It's just frustrating, right? What the fudge, Satan? What are you doing, right? This is what's going on here. Like, this is annoying because we aren't who we aren't being who we really are. But because of this, I have this invitation. This is what John's talking about. Into the light. Into truth. Because all day we have an enemy in a world, you know, shooting at us, which are flaming arrows with messages. Flaming arrows with messages. And they're on fire because when they hit you, they catch on. They become part of you. You start melting and believing the things they've given you. But that's not what God has. God has that shield of faith, right? Which is fueled by the truth. That's not me. That's not true. That's not you, God. But if we don't fight, right, then we lose the battle. So now let's go back. This is what John's been through. He's learned from Jesus all of this. Man, there's light and darkness, and here's what Jesus did. And then he's writing in his letter. Because, guys, there's a problem. There's a problem in the church. Could you imagine? You guys have never been in a church with a problem, right? No. This church doesn't have problems. Now, he's writing to Christians, and it says, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we looked upon, have touched with our hands. He's like, believe me, guys. John's like, believe me, Robert, you know, believe me, Billy, believe me, Joey, believe me, the Ridge. Like, I've seen it. It's him who was there from the beginning. We touched him. We saw him with our own eyes concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we've seen it and testified to it and proclaim it to you. The eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest to us. That which we've seen and we've heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too, here's why they proclaim it, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Can we take that out of church talk for a minute? Thank you, John. Thank you, John. I didn't get to see him. I didn't get to watch Jesus die. I didn't get to see him when he was raised from the dead. Not physically, right? But he did. And he was brave enough to give up his life so that this would be recorded so that I can tell you about it today. That everyone who's taught you over time. And why did they do that? So that we could have fellowship with them and with each other. And in sharing this fellowship, it made their joy complete, right? This was the message that we'd heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Here's the problem, guys. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Okay, here's the problem. See, God and his power, his presence, and the life we are created to live in isn't found in the shadows or the darkness. We're looking in the wrong place. In God, there is no darkness at all. He's not in the dark. So then let's just use your logical mind for a minute. If I'm in the shadows and in the dark, then I'm where God is not. And no wonder so many people are like, where are you, God? You're looking in the wrong place. Greater problem. If I'm in those dark places in the shadows, what's one of the problems with the dark? You can't see. You just can't see. Right? You don't know how silly it is that you're doing. You don't know you're choking on your own smoke, right? And I could pick on somebody else. Yeah. Someone as heavy as me doesn't need to be two whoppers or something, right? Yeah. Eating five steaks right after you got your open heart surgery, you know, I'm cleaned out, I'm good to go for a little while longer. No, foolishness. And since I'm blinded, I'm unable to really see and experience the life and the love and the power of God in Jesus Christ. See, this is where you guys got to have eyes and ears to hear it. Here's an observation. People go to church for a lifetime and they're miserable still. Why? Why? So then other people who don't want to be miserable stop going where the Christians are. Why is that? Why are the Christians not alive? Why do we have more worries and probably maybe more problems than everyone else? It's the same thing that John ran into. Like, because we're unable to see and experience God in a way. And I know when I say that experience word, some of you get afraid what I'm talking about. No, but flat out, if you can't experience, see, but the problem is, if you never leave the dark, the only one coming to your aid is religion. Religion says this. Religion says, let me give you information that you don't ever have to experience or really see. Just understand it intellectually. Let me give you this information about God. Memorize the scriptures, right? Write them on your heart. Do this kind of stuff. But because you can't see God, because you're in the dark and he's not there, you know a ton about him, but you know him not at all. You say, God is good all the time, God is good. But you don't think God is good. And the church is like, let's go to evangelism, knock doors. Guess what? Let me tell you intellectually about a God that's good who really isn't, because my life sucks. But on Sunday, I do go to church. You want to go with me? And they don't sign up. And you're like, what the fudge, right? What the fudge? Okay, this is madness. It's madness. Like, I quit that. I don't want to spend my life doing that. So, like I wrote here, it's a poor consolation prize knowing about God instead of knowing him. So God becomes this theoretically good God, and then people are like, oh, but how come awful things happen to, you know, good people, and God kills people and wars and babies? Because he's God and you're not. And dying is not the bad thing that happens to you. Living is. But But you're in the darkness, you don't see that. Your only hope is whatever you can get in these 50, 60, 70, 80 years. Like, and if you don't experience it now, you're bummed, you're angry, and you think you've missed out. But it's like I was telling my kids already, man, in my house, it's hard. Why? Because the world hates us because they hated God. And I'm a sinner, right? Saved by grace, right, as they say. I've been regenerated, but my mind isn't fully transformed, so I hurt them. So their walk is difficult, and it's like, ah, sometimes you don't get castles on earth, but you just know when you get to heaven, man, it's going to be awesome. And the older you get, you're like me, you realize how quick it goes. Dang, that would have sucked if this is all there was. Right? At 41, I'll tell you what, the physical, it already just feels like the best has already passed me, right? And I know 6-year-olds like, whatever, 40-year-old. No, but seriously, I'm not 20 anymore. That was quick. That was quick. And the next 20 is going to be quick, and I can imagine being 80 and getting up in the morning and saying, what in the world happened? If that was the best there was, geez. Our mind has to be transformed. See, but that's not the offer of Jesus. The offer of Jesus isn't information about a distant God that you don't know. It's why Jesus came. It's why Jesus came. And he would keep coming back every generation if that's what it took, but instead he gave us the Holy Spirit, which is a whole other problem we talked about for about 2 months, right? We've without the Holy Spirit, we just have a distant God. We don't have a personal and present God speaking to us. And then we're out of luck. Because the best we can do then is know about him. And what does knowing about him do? Really nothing. That's not Jesus' offer. Here's what he wants to offer you. He wants to offer you fellowship, relationship, light. But in order to accept this, do you understand? You have to step out of the darkness into the light. So let me define fellowship. You know the word koinonia. If you've been in churches or listened to podcasts, you've seen that. That's the word we're translating fellowship. And it's more than like a potluck, which potlucks are good, okay? But it's about a partnership or a participation or communion, commonality, togetherness, unity of purpose. It's what I was saying Brandy and I are developing together is true koinonia, true fellowship. And God wants to offer us the same thing, that we'd have fellowship with one another and fellowship with him. And so fellowship with God is this, at its most basic, agreement with him in all things. See, to go to a potluck, you don't have to agree on anything other than you're in the same place at the same time, and you might eat like 4 of the 17 dishes at the potluck, right? So maybe a couple of you would agree on which potato salad is best or which macaroni and cheese is better. That's about where it ends. But what we're talking about, koinonia, is really being together, really being in the same purpose, really agreeing. Amos 3:3 said, I'm not going to use that. I'm going to use my words. How can we walk together, guys, if we're not in agreement of where we're going? How can we, you know, it's like, where do you want to go to eat? I don't know, right? This is our life. Like, God is saying, here's where we're going. And we're like, nah, thanks. We're going to go this way instead. But I still want fellowship with you. No, you don't. That's where we come up with these words like one spirit, right? What makes us, even though we're different, unite us is the Holy Spirit. It's the commonality that we have. It's a way in which we can come into agreement even if we disagree on which potato salad is the best or if potato salad is even good at all. So we hear words like this, one spirit, a special word in our household, Brandy writes, been like-mindedness. There's warning against being unequally yoked, you know. You can have friendship with others who don't believe like you, but you can't have fellowship. You've got to be going in the same direction to have fellowship. What unites us is terms like the mind of Christ, unity, the body of Christ. We're, even though different, we're working together on a common mission. We're in fellowship with one another. See, so how can we be one, be in common, and be in fellowship if we don't walk together and are going different ways. So that's my, I got the answer for that. You can't. This is what we're doing. Like even church, right? The busyness of our life, we maybe see each other like 3 of 5 Sundays for like an hour and a half. How's your life, which I really know nothing about doing? Oh, really? It's not good, but I'm going to pretend and tell you it's okay. This is fellowship, right? Not really, guys. Now, the question I don't have an answer for, and I think this is the Holy Spirit's work. This is the transforming of your mind. How do our differences, right, the differences that we all have, different gifts, different callings, different missions, because you aren't left out of this world. So some of you, right, some of you might be homemakers. Some of you are married. Some of you are single. There might be accountants or teachers, right? You might work at a restaurant. You might be retired, and so your day-to-day activities would be very different than the people who have a different set of life. So you're not always going to be walking in the same direction. But in spite of those differences, how can we all be the version of ourselves that's removed from the world and unstained by it, yet active and present physically in the world around us? And I think this is the question of every fellowship. Whether it's a marriage, a friendship, a church, a small group, how can we find that like-mindedness and that unity which comes through the Holy Spirit? So it's back to John's problem, 1 John 1, the church's problem that John's talking about, I should say. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. Check this out. This is what I found. The word darkness. Skatas. That's the Prescott Valley version of that for you. It means darkness, but it really comes from the root word of shadows. So it's actually shadiness. Yes, right? Shadiness. That's what this is. How can you keep being shady and say you're in fellowship with God? Which really was what it is, right? Darkness, like you're thinking it's like elevated, right? Even last week, Brady and I were talking about that. Like, yeah, I can use extreme examples of sin and like, oh yeah, murdering and you're really strung out on drugs and stuff. But most people sitting here aren't in that spot. But y'all are shady, right? Some of you are shady, including me, right, at times. Shady, that works. That I get, God. See, God and life are not in the shadows and the darkness. But we often are. See, we lie. We misrepresent ourselves. We're trying to deceive others in order to show ourselves as we wish we were or as others wish we were. And in doing so, we don't practice time. We don't practice, I mean, spend time with or in truth. All those definitions aside, let's be honest. I mean business, because I'm going to set this down. And I'm going to take a drink of water. Let's be honest. Can't we be real and be honest? Every one of you and me has to ask yourself this question. Do you want to be in fellowship with God? And of course, the answer is yes, we really do. But are you willing to leave the shadiness in your life behind and be honest? Now, that's a more difficult question to answer. And I would present to you that it's become so ingrained in culture and the way that we do things, even in church culture, that we might not even realize how shady we're really being. Brandon, it's obvious, man. Like, if you have an addiction so bad that you can't function and you're like in a rehabilitation center, then the reality hits you like, okay, life isn't working. But the problem is for the far majority of us, we think we're trying to make life work. And although we wouldn't call what we're doing darkness, it really is. Have you seen how much, if you start reading the Bible, it talks about sexuality and sex? It really does. And the reason why in those lists, It's like there's all the sins and sexual immorality. Why do they pull that out? Because it is a big dang deal. It was present then, it's present now. I mean, there's so much shadiness, right? There's statistics I could pull out, but so many of us are shady in our sexuality. I mean, pornography, it's everywhere, right? There's even other shady things. You know, they have to throw nudity in like every random show. Have you seen that? Like, you just can't. You go on Netflix, like every one of them is MA. And you don't know if that means like a bunch of naked women in there, because of course you should throw in some barbarians, there should be a bunch of naked women, right? Or like, yeah, or a dating show or whatever. And guys, you get it. Like, you're engineered for this. You see breast, you think about breast, you want to touch breast, right? In agreement? Okay. The only breast you're allowed to touch, your wife. And the way that God's in reality, in life, is this. If I have sex with her, I take her as my wife. And we don't do that. Like, that is darkness. That is shadiness. The pornography that you use to make life work because your real physical sexuality isn't going, darkness, shadiness. Even the soft stuff, even watching all those MA shows, but you don't belong to some kind of website, shadiness. Fantasy, shadiness. Like, you're delving in areas where God isn't. And then you're crying out to him and wondering, why am I not seeing him in my life? Why am I not seeing him in my life? Wives and husbands, man, you guys, the Bible's pretty clear. Like, we have this and we hold back from each other. Shadiness. It's not just doing that when you're supposed to, but not doing it when you're supposed to. Darkness, shadiness. This is the place where Satan dwells. Watch the research. Take the counseling classes Brandy went through. Man, it starts out, right, like with the kid finding the nudie magazine in 1985 in his parents' house. And somehow from that, it goes to like he touches kids. Why? Darkness. If you put yourself in darkness, the only thing you're hearing is dark influences. The best you're getting is religion, which makes you feel really crappy about yourself. And you'll never leave it behind because you can't get past that. Men, women, if you shut yourself down towards sexuality, you pretend it's not there. Shadiness. Does that make you uncomfortable? Yes, right? This is what I'm supposed to do. I get it because I've had those issues myself, like, right? Not doing sexuality right. In the whole counseling process, each one of us, even the church, has given us a bad idea of what sexuality is. You think it's dark. You think it's hidden. You think it's shady. It's not. It's forward. It's a gift. It's fellowship, right? It's joy. It's worship is what it is, right? That's what it's supposed to be, service and love, and not what the movies make it out to be. And I know I'm a victim of that crap myself. And the legal side of you is like, oh, I'm not looking at pornography. Whatever. Like, you're gawking at every woman you see, right? And you're getting away from your wife. Shadiness. Like, what am I listening to? What am I seeing in those regards? How am I treating people of the opposite sex? Like, for our kids, man, we just pray that their spouse stays pure and that they stay pure till they can come together and they can join in the true worship, right? Of two people that were made for each other and only have each other instead of comparing lists of 45 people each one of them had to be with, right? To get to this place. That's not what God wants for us. What about money, right? Money's not evil, but the love of money is the root of all evil. We've learned. And you're like, you know, God and money. That's what I said, honestly. That's what I really said to the pastor that said, Will, he's talking to Brandy. Do you ever think about being a pastor? Here's what I said, no joke. I don't think so. I don't want to mix God and money. Like, I'll keep working at the bank, and then I can kind of help financially and teach Sunday school. Shadiness. Shadiness. Just last week, you guys gave me and my family a tremendous little gift, a check. I mean, I never had more blessings money-wise, even though the salary would be less than becoming a pastor. But that's, you had to come out of the shadiness. You had to hand it over. You had to come out to where God is. What about other things? Man, everyone's anxious and depressed. It's making me depressed and anxious. Just listen. I'm just kidding. You can't be down anymore. It's like you need a pill. Please, I don't want to hate on the fact that some of you guys take pills, right, because it's medically prescribed to you. But so many of us, guys, even in the Christian community, and see, this is the shade because you don't talk about it. Like, sus, right? That's sus, right? Kids today, sus. What's sus mean? What's that? Suspicious, right, or suspect. Guys, older people, this is what you used to call that's suspicious or suspect. Sus, okay. When they have kids, it's just going to be s. That's s. And then their grandkids are just going to have some kind of symbol for it, right? But this is sus. You need a pill to help you get up in the morning. Oh, and you love your wife, but you need a pill so you can have sex with her, and then you need a pill to go to sleep too. But when you feel anxious, there's a pill for that. It's sorcery. That's what we found, right, Brandy? It's like sorcery. Like, you don't trust God to do anything for you. And neither do I. That's sus. Wait, Will, you're saying my diabetes, I have to take insulin? I'm not saying that. You know. That's the thing. It's intentional. You know when you're in the shade. Because I know. And you're trying to hide it, and you're trying to play, and then you keep whining because God doesn't talk to you. And so do I. Stop it. Stop being shady. The only thing that's there is darkness and evil, not fellowship in life. Let's be honest about shadiness. That's what you guys say. Will, you're pretty open and transparent. You and Brandy, thank you, God, because I hope you guys know I am not perfect. Like, I am really jacked up too. And I wish there was a pill for it, but there's not. And it might never get better, but it is getting better. And I have hope, and that's what this is, right? And God has given me a wife to walk this out. He's given me amazing kids and parents that were such a blessing, right? And we're walking this out together. And you guys are walking this out together, but we got to get out of the shadiness, out of the dark. Just because you're anxious, you don't over-medicate yourself. Because then you take that pill and you got to take a pill for this. Sometimes you got to stop eating cheeseburgers instead of take a pill to get your cholesterol down, right? It's like the shortcut. I know, it sucks. Let's take a walk, eat a carrot stick. But we don't because we'd rather hide in the dark. And how's everything good? Okay, what's really going? Well, marriage is bad, lots of pornography. I got a pill for that, a pill for that, a pill for that, right? And then I got a drink too to sleep. And then I hunt and fish just so I can cope. And thank God there's Sunday football, you know? That would be in the light for some people. That would be in the light. How are you doing? Hate life right now. Don't really feel like God's good today. That would be honest. I'm great. No, you're not. Shady, do that to each other. Shady, when you see that, how you doing? I'm great. Shady, you know what's there. You know what's in the shadows. Not fellowship with God in each other. Stop it. Stop it. If you are in the dark, if you're being shady and you say have fellowship with God, there's not a weak word here. Liar. On purpose. On purpose, liar. You're deceiving me. You're trying to trick me. You're trying to put me in a light, have me put you in a light that you are not. See, at the end of the day, Ross, if like I have a huge moral failure, like all these pastors on TV, everyone's say, yeah, we kind of knew that was probably going to happen with Will because he's a mess, right? It's in the light. You guys know this Will can be shady if he's not careful. You got to call me on it, right? But God is transforming me, so that's less and less so. Because this last year, Brandy and I came up here, we're like, man, we're struggling. Wait, pastors can't do that. You know how many people were pissed that I took 3 months off? I don't want to be shady anymore. And when we came in the light, God has done it. Look at everyone he's brought. But the people, they like the darkness. They don't like the light. You like the darkness. You don't like the light. The light is too hard because it exposes all the areas God's working in your life. And so you'd rather live in the darkness, not fully alive, than be in the light, go through the pain, and be alive. Stop being shady. Stop sitting there crying out, God, why aren't you answering? Get out of the darkness. Quit being shady. Let's be real together. That's what John is saying. That's why John had to write it. The people were being shady, and they were like, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good all the time, God is good. No, shady. Shady. Man, what if even like 50 of us could do this? Could you imagine for a second? Yeah. What if your evangelism program was just your life? Wasn't a trick, like the business card you have to show somebody or some kind of bracelet. I mean, all those things are great. I don't mean to make fun of them, but what if your life was like, how come you kick so much butt, Will? Right? Like, because God, dude, I want my life to kick butt too. Like, okay, you're going to hate this for a while because we're going to shine the light on it and all the shadiness has to go away. And every time you start creeping in there, because don't think that because I'm saying this, that it never kind of creeps back. Because you're just going to be like, oh, okay, maybe I will go back over here into the dark because that hurts up there. But that's constant calling of the Holy Spirit to say, Will, come on, out of the shadows. You know what lurks in there. Colossians 1, 13 and 14 says this, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Well, why that one, Will? See, there was dominion, there was control and rule of darkness over your life, but that's been cut. It's been cut. It's been smashed. But here's the reality. There still is this cage that we put ourselves in because it's in the dark where we can't be seen. Right outside that cage is the light. And the men and women who've been transformed by God, it's always that first step of walking into the light. The prodigal son who came home had no idea how his dad would respond, but he just went home. Saul, who later became Paul, I mean, he was part of a plan to kill Christians and imprison them, and then saw the light, like literal the light, it blinded him. And only then he could see. He didn't have everything figured out. He just went with it. You see, the dominion of darkness isn't over us anymore. You've been transferred from the dominion of darkness into his kingdom. But you can imprison yourself with all that if you want, with all that shadiness. See, there's shadiness and fear, too. You're just afraid. There's shadiness and control and anger and bitterness and resentment. And to get out of all that, you've got to come into the light, and it stings. But you're not alone. The Lord is always with you. And he's extremely resourceful, and he's got his people around you and his Holy Spirit in you. But I think right now I just want to invite worship team to come on up, and we're just going to pray. It's not a magic moment, you see. It's the metaphor is always walk. It's not jump. It's not even sprint. It's always walk. So the journey out of the shadows and the shadiness into the light, it always starts with a single step. So if I did have a magic wand, here's what I'd love to invite you to do. If I had a magic wand, everyone would do this. I don't. So I trust, like Jesus did, that the ones who God is giving ears to hear and eyes to see will want to do this. That the Holy Spirit would search us, this is what I want to pray, and reveal to us the shady part of our life. And that the Holy Spirit would also give us the courage to write, what's the old proverb saying? It's not a proverb, but it's a van saying, right? The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step or something like that, right? That's kind of how this works. For some of us, it is a 1,000-mile journey out of the shadows. And some of us, it might not be as far, but every one of us have to take that first step. So I'd pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal to us where he's working and the shadows, getting us out of the shadows, calling us out, and that he'd give us the strength and the courage and the confidence to step out of that. Yeah. Let's just pray. And we'll see what the Lord does. Lord, I just submit to you, Lord, surrender to you. Jesus, I thank you as your humble servant, Lord, that you, everyone that you've brought here today, people that you wanted to be part of this conversation. And Holy Spirit, I pray because I know that you're here. I know that you live and reside in the hearts of all the believers, Lord. As well as you just dwell around us, Lord. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would do your miraculous work in us, that you would read us and search us and reveal to us where you're working to call us out of the shadows. Yeah, maybe it's time that we step out. Maybe someone's hearing this that's just tired of that, just tired of it. So I pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, God, Father, come to the rescue of the men and women here today. Call them out of the shadows of lust, out of the shadows of chemical dependence, out of the shadows of fear, out of the shadows of depression, out of the shadows of control. And Jesus, I know that there's this lie out there that if people knew me, the real me, they'd reject me. That's a lie. We crush that lie, Lord, in Jesus' name. We crush that lie. There's this fear, right, that's founded in this lie, like, it's not that big of a deal. We crush that because you know and I know it's a huge deal. It's a huge deal. So, Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would fill us with you, that we would have your power and your strength to take that single step out of the shadows, that single step forward. And Lord, I pray that you'd meet us there, that you'd take us by the hand, and you'd take us another step and another step. I pray that we would just feel your presence, feel your comfort and your strength, and help us, Lord, because we don't know how to live this way. We've gotten so used to life in the shadows. Lord, and I just pray that you would silence all the evil ones, Lord, all the words that have been pronounced on us by other people, the things we say to ourselves, Lord, that we would have the courage just to spend this time with you as we're singing praises, Lord, just to hand over these shady parts of our life and step forward with you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.